statements that we just read. So the narrow gate is, first of all, a reference to Jesus himself. Secondly, it would be a reference to the way of salvation. The way of salvation is a narrow way. Now, there is a contrast here. There is also the broad way. There's the wide gate, the broad way. We'll talk about that at length in a moment. But the contrast is between the wide and the narrow. The way of salvation is narrow. There's only one person who can save us. That's Christ. And we must come to Christ on His terms. And so the way is narrow. We do not make up the rules, in other words. We do not determine how it is that we will approach God. Now, of course, many people want to make up the rules. Many people want to make up their own way of approaching God. But the Bible teaches us clearly that there is one way of salvation, and that's God's way of salvation. So the way of salvation is narrow. The way of salvation begins, first of all, with self-humiliation. We must humble ourselves if we're going to be saved. This is why so few people are saved. Because it is one of the most difficult things in all of the world to humble ourselves as human beings. Our pride, regardless of who we are, adamantly resist humbling ourselves. And so if we're going to be saved, we must humble ourselves. And that is a narrow way. There's no room for our pride. There's no room for boasting in ourselves. There's no room for the things that we've accomplished as commending us to God. We must lay everything aside. So the way of salvation is narrow. Secondly, we must forsake the world in the way of salvation. The Christian life is a narrow life. God's calling us to leave the world behind. Whenever you find one of those religions that basically lets you live any way you want to and still promises you eternal life, you can be sure that that religion is not true. Jesus said the way of salvation is narrow and we must forsake the world. We have to leave the world behind. We have to leave the pleasures of the world behind. We have to leave the philosophies of the world behind. We have to leave the cares of the world behind. You see, salvation is like a turnstile. One person at a time can enter, and they can enter only by themselves. You can't bring any luggage with you. You can't bring your friends or family with you. It's just one person at a time is admitted. And you know, it's like as you're going into an airport there, you have to pass a security clearing there. You have to take almost everything off. You know, you got to leave your carry on. You got to put it through the little conveyor belt there. You've got to empty your pockets, and only one person at a time goes through. It's just you. You can't really have any excess baggage with you. You walk through. You leave everything else behind. And so it is with entering into salvation. We must forsake the world. We must leave it all behind. And then thirdly, the way of salvation is narrow because it calls for a denying of oneself. Denying ourselves. We have to leave our pride. We have to leave the world. And probably the most difficult thing of all is we have to leave ourselves. Our self-identity, our self-confidence, our self-esteem, our self-adoration, our self-love, whatever. When it comes to self, self has to be left behind. And that is probably the thing that makes this salvation so narrow. Your very self has to be left behind. But oh, the world teaches self-esteem, self-exaltation, self-realization. Everything is centered on self. The way of salvation, according to God, is a denial of self. And so it is a narrow gate. But secondly, we're told that it is a difficult way. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. What is the difficult way? Well, first of all, the difficult way is the Christian life itself. The Christian life is a difficult life, and anyone who thinks otherwise has either been misinformed or is self-deceived. Many people do have this false view of the Christian life. They think that the Christian life is an easy life. No, the Christian life is a difficult life. You enter in through the narrow gate, and then you walk that difficult path. The King James Version translation is, enter in through the straight gate, for straight is the way, for straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life. The New King James is translated narrow and difficult. The word that's translated difficult means both. It means narrow, but it's used metaphorically to speak of a difficult path. A path filled with obstacles. And that is indeed a good description of the Christian life. The Christian life is full of obstacles. It's not an easy life to live. Listen to Jesus and the apostles. Matthew 10:34-39. Jesus said, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it." John 16:33, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Acts 14:21-22. "And when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, 'We must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God.'" Paul, in writing to Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:3, he said, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." And then again in 2 Timothy 3:10-12, Paul again writing to Timothy, he says, "But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." How it is that anyone ever got the idea that the Christian life was easy is a mystery to me. They must have drawn their conclusions from a book other than the Bible, because the Bible certainly does not represent the Christian life as an easy life. It is a difficult way. Those who have wanted to kind of counteract the teaching that the Christian life is easy, they'll say things like, "No, man, it's not an easy life. You got to be a real man to follow the Lord." You know, there's a bumper sticker with the slogan, "Real men love Jesus," I think is what it says. And, you know, and so they're trying to, you know, balance that out. "Oh, the Christian life is easy." They say, "Oh, no way, man. It takes a real man to follow the Lord." Guess what? It takes more than a real man. A man in all of his strength can't follow Jesus Christ. A man needs to be empowered by God to follow Jesus Christ. That's how difficult the Christian life is. You can't do it no matter how committed a man you are. You in your best day, with all of your effort, all of your resolve, all of your strength, you don't have what's needed. You need something beyond what you have. You need the power of God, because the Christian life is the difficult way. The difficult way is also the Christian lifestyle. And there's a difference between the Christian life and the Christian lifestyle. Christian life, we're talking about life in general, just living the Christian life in the world. Jesus told us what it was going to be like. But then living the lifestyle specifically will cause us great difficulty, because the lifestyle that God calls us to live is so often in direct opposition to the lifestyle that the world is putting forth as acceptable. Listen to what Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:11. He said, "But you, O man of God, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness." See, this is what a Christian is to do. They're to pursue righteousness in the midst of an unrighteous world. We're to pursue godliness in the midst of a godless society. We're to pursue faith in the midst of a world that rejects faith and says we must see it. In the midst of a materialistic society, we are to pursue love where there's hatred, patience where there's impatience, gentleness where there's assertiveness, aggressiveness, harshness. So you see, living the Christian life is the difficult way, because you're going against the grain. The Christian is going against the grain. You're going against the flow. You're like that fish that's swimming upstream instead of being carried downstream with the flow. Now, there is another road. There are two roads that are being spoken of here. There are two gates, narrow gate and a difficult way. Then there is the wide gate and the broad way. Now, how do you know which is which? Well, one clue is that few are traveling the narrow, and multitudes are traveling the broad. So, in other words, the wrong way is traveled by most people. Most people are on the wrong road. They're on the road that's leading to destruction. So you can get a real quick idea of which path is right and wrong by just looking at the majority. Where are the majority of people today? That's the place where you don't want to be. Multitudes are going in that way. Jesus said, "Wide is the gate." So the gate's wide, contrasted with the narrow gate. The narrow gate we've seen is Jesus Christ and His way of salvation. But the wide gate is basically anything you want it to be, is more or less the philosophy that would be stated there over the wide gate. However you want it to be, come on in through this gate, whatever you think. It's all up to you. You decide. One God, many gods, no God. Hey, the choice is yours. However you want to live, whatever kind of lifestyle you think is most appropriate for yourself, that's the acceptable thing on the broad road. The philosophy of the world, the thinking of the world, the mentality of the world is all summed up right there in this, the wide gate and the broad way. Multitudes of people are following that road. But that road is leading to destruction. That's what Jesus said. So He urges us. He says, enter at the narrow gate. And immediately He talks about the wide gate and the broad way. Enter at the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in by it. So He urges us, enter at the narrow gate. Why? Because the road to destruction is easily traveled. It's where everybody is headed. You know, it's amazing when you think of that, for some reason, as Christians, we're always waiting for the Christian life to catch on, to become popular, or is looking for the multitudes to embrace it and follow what we believe. Times we're trying to, you know, establish laws and things that'll, you know, get people on the narrow road. But you know what? It'll never happen. It will never happen. Being a Christian will always be a difficult thing in this world, and you will always be the minority. Now, that's not a good way to sell a product. God's not selling a product. He's giving eternal life away. But He tells us, in the world, you're going to have a hard time. But that's it. Christianity has never been, true Christianity has never been accepted by the world. Now, there have been times in history where societies have become Christianized. But that isn't really accurate. What's happened is societies have been affected by Christian principles, and you know, a certain morality has been established based on Christian principles and so forth. But the society has not become Christianized in the biblical sense. And even in the most Christianized societies, whether it was Victorian England or whether it was the U.S., you know, back 50 years ago, the person who truly served Jesus Christ has always been looked upon as an oddball, a fanatic, a weirdo, someone who's gone too far, taking it to an extreme. That's the way it's always going to be. My daughter was doing a report this past week on the martyrs. And the other night we were sitting down and she was sharing some things with me, things that I already knew, but things that she had just discovered for the first time. And she was absolutely marveling at these things. She was blown away, convicted, desiring to commit herself in a greater way to the Lord as she was studying the experience of the early Christians. As it became a capital offense to be a Christian under the Roman Empire, you took the name of Christ, and in doing so, you put your own life on the line. In the first three centuries of the Christian church, millions and millions of Christians were put to death for their faith in Christ. That's the way it is. That's the way it will always be. The world will never accept us. It's a narrow gate. It's a difficult path. The world is on that broad road. And the only way to broaden Christianity is to weaken it. The only way to get multitudes on the road to Jesus is to take away from the truth of God's Word. And that's what's happened in many cases, where you do see at times, you know, large numbers of people, nations claiming to be Christian nations. What you find when you take a closer look, upon more thorough investigation, you find that, well, this isn't real Christianity. That's the reason why it's become so popular. You see, it'll never be popular, and we need to face that. I was speaking to a couple just a few weeks ago who come from Egypt and grew up there in Egypt, and they were sharing with me some of their experiences being Christians in that country and going out and sharing the gospel. And as we were talking, just having a, you know, pleasant conversation, they were sharing some of their exploits and just got onto the subject of the various jails that they had been in, the many times that they had been arrested. And, you know, just kind of in passing, the man was sharing about being beaten by the authorities for having preached the gospel. And this is commonplace. It's not happening here in our society presently, but it's commonplace throughout the world. And we were talking about the whole idea of the Islamic State and basically to convert to Christ as a Muslim is either death or life in prison. You know, this is the way much of the world functions. And being a Christian is fairly easy in our society still at this time. But it's never going to be the popular thing. And in the future, it could become more and more unpopular to be a Christian. And I've got to ask myself the question, am I going to stay on the narrow road and on the difficult way as it gets more difficult? Or am I going to turn off and jump onto the broad road because it's easier? It is easier in this life. And it's more popular in this life. And you'll have a lot more friends and things will be a lot smoother for you in many ways if you don't follow Christ. But for eternity, you'll regret it. You see, that's what's at stake here. It's eternity. It's forever. So the question is this. Do you want to endure some temporary ridicule and mocking? Do you want to have people disassociate themselves from you in this life and go into eternity in the presence of God and live with Him? Or would you rather have the acceptance of your fellow man, your peers, your family, your co-workers or whatever, and enjoy all of that for just this brief period and then go into eternity apart from God? It seems to me that any reasoning person would conclude that following Christ in this life, even though it is difficult, is well worth it. Because eternity is forever. Oh, life is but a vapor, James said. It appears for a moment and then vanishes. Even if we live to our maximum potential here on earth, 100 years old, 120 years old, 130 maybe. Oh, that goes by so quickly. We all know people who are older. We know people in their 80s, 90s. And, you know, I like to talk to older people, ask them questions. And, you know, one of the things I like to ask them is, you know, what about life? You know, it's kind of winding down. What do you think? And quite often the response is, boy, it was quick. It was quick. It just blew by. Boy, what about last year? Man, last year just went. You know, it seemed like we just got into 95 and before we knew it, it was over. And what about the last 10 years? And for some people, the last 30 years, it just goes by so quickly. Life is so brief, is so short. And after life, there's an eternity. And we spend eternity in one of two places. Heaven or hell. That's what it all comes down to. And that's what Jesus is talking about when he talks about there's a road that leads to destruction and there's a road that leads to life. Life is heaven. Destruction is hell. There's only two roads. There's only two places to go. There's no middle ground. There's no bike lane. There's no jogger's path. You're on one or the other. And there's only two destinations. There is not a neutral place. You see, there's two roads and there's two destinations. There's heaven, there's hell. There's nothing in between. There's no purgatory. There's nothing like that. The Bible knows nothing of that. The Bible tells us that there are two places that a man could go once he leaves this world. He can go to heaven or he can go to hell. And it's all contingent upon the road that you're on. If you're on the broad road, entered through the wide gate, traveling with the vast majority of people, just going with the flow, then that road is leading to hell, to destruction. If you're on the narrow path, that difficult way, you entered in through the straight gate, that road is leading to life. Now you can choose to be on the narrow road.
If you refuse to be on the narrow road, then you are inevitably on the broad road. There is not another road. You say, well, I don't want either road. Well, that's not an option. It's one or the other. It's one or the other. Of course, God desires that you choose the narrow gate and the difficult way. And that's what Jesus said. He's urging us, enter by the narrow gate. He's calling us to that. That's where He desires us to be. That's what He wants for your life. Now, I don't want to give you an imbalanced view of the Christian life. I've talked about the narrowness. Jesus is the only way. His way of salvation is the only way of salvation. We've talked about the difficult way, the Christian life being difficult, the Christian lifestyle being difficult. But let me balance it out with the joy, with the peace, with the purpose, with the fulfillment that comes. There are difficulties, certainly. And any presentation of the Christian life that leaves out the tribulation aspect, the hard times and so forth, is an imbalance. But to just center on that would be an imbalance too, because the Bible tells us that the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So you see, even in this life, although there are difficulties and so forth, it balances out. Because God is with us. God works in our lives. He gives us purpose and meaning and fulfillment. And He gives us His joy, His peace, and all of those things in the midst of our sorrow and our struggles and those things. So it's important that we have the balance on this. But when it's all said and done, it is a narrow gate and a difficult way that leads to life. And few there be that find it. Why? Because of man's pride. Because of man's love for pleasure in the world. Because of an unwillingness to deny self. It's not few people finding it because God is hiding it. It's not because God doesn't want anybody on it. It's plain. It's clear. It's right there before us. You know, it's like life is a highway, and you're heading down the highway, and as you're going along, there's the exit sign. Narrow gate up ahead. You know, and you're going on the broad road, you see the narrow gate, and oh, you pass it by. And you know, as you're traveling on the broad road, there are those signs constantly before you. Narrow gate up ahead, narrow gate up ahead, narrow gate up ahead. Turn off. You can turn off any time and get on the narrow gate. God's inviting you to do that. He's calling you to do that. But you know, there is a place on the road to destruction where you pass your last exit. I don't know where that is. You don't know where that is either. But wouldn't it be a horrible thing to pass that last exit? You're approaching it. You're coming toward it. Yeah, there's that man. I ought to turn off. And you start to veer and say, no, one more. I'll get off at the next exit. And you pull back onto the broad road and you're traveling. You're wondering, well, when's that sign going to come up? Well, I haven't seen another exit sign. That was the last one. You passed it by. See, that could happen. That could happen. This is the most serious stuff in all the world right here. It's heaven and hell. It's eternity. And God help us to think beyond just this brief, momentary experience that we have here in the world. That's part of the problem with people today, is we won't think beyond today. I won't think about tomorrow. Oh, I just don't want to think about that. You know, you hear people say that all the time. Well, what about this? Oh, I don't want to think about that. Well, you ought to think about it, because it's coming. Well, I don't want to think about death. I just put that out of my mind, you know. That is not going to stall it. That is not going to stop it from coming. And the wisest thing to do is to think about it right now, because now you can do something about it. But you see, once you pass that last exit, so to speak, the next stop is hell. The next stop is destruction, and you certainly don't want to end up there. You certainly don't want to end there, and God certainly does not want you to end there. That's why Jesus came and made a way. That's why He came to be that gate, to be that pathway to God and into eternal life. And so as we close today, there are two roads. And the question is simply, which one are you on? Are you on the broad road that's leading to destruction? Just going with the flow? Out there with everybody, just, you know, the newest fad, the newest fashion? You know, the funny thing to me is to see how almost everyone who's traveling the broad road, they think they're on the narrow road. You know, they've got their little clique and they think, man, we're it, me and my friends. You know, most people think they're different than everybody else. Most little subcultural groups, you know, think they're, oh, man, we're different. But you know what? You're all on the same road. Everybody's on the same road, unless you're on the road to life, unless you're following Jesus. You know, I think of those countercultural groups. You know, you think of back with the hippies, and you think of the punks, and you think of, you know, the alternative people and all of that. You know, and you know, their thinking is always, man, we are different. We are the rebels. We are resisting the establishment. We're challenging tradition and we're doing it our way. You know what? You're doing it the devil's way. And you're following everybody else. The only true rebels in all of the world are those who are following Christ. So if you really are into being a rebel, maybe you are. I want to challenge you to be a real rebel. Rebel against Satan. Rebel against the world system. Rebel against sin. You'll be a real rebel then. You can wear your leather jacket if you wanted to. But then you'll be a real rebel. See, until you follow Christ, you're no rebel at all. And you're not unique at all, and you're not a leader, you're a follower. You're following the course of this world. You're following the devil just like everybody else. You're just doing it in your own way. You got your little way of doing it. But you're on the same path. You're on the broad road. You know, you get on a freeway and there are all kinds of different cars traveling down the road, and you know, people think, man, I'm groovy, I'm the only one on the road in this old Studebaker, you know. And they find, oh, there's somebody else over there, you know. I'm the only one on the road with this Jag. And no, they're over there too. You know, the broad road, everybody's out there going in that direction. You want to be different. You want to be unique. Follow Jesus Christ. Get on the narrow path. Get on that difficult way. It leads to life. It leads to eternal life. It leads to an eternity with God in His presence and enjoying all that He is and all that He has made. And I'll tell you, you are definitely interested in that, even though you might not think you are, because all that you enjoy now here in this life is a result of what He's done, what He's made. And even the perverted things that you enjoy are just that. They're perverted. They're perversions of what God originally intended. You see, all joy, all true pleasure, all those things that we live for here, they can only be experienced because God made us with a capacity to experience them. Hell is the annihilation of all of those experiences. They're all gone. And it's misery forever. But you see, heaven is fullness of joy and pleasure forevermore. God created us for pleasure. And He wants to take us into eternity and give us a pleasurable experience forever. That's what He's offering. Which road are you on? Two roads. All of us by nature are on the broad road. You can get off though. And you can get on the narrow road. You must make that decision. You must take that turn off from this world and say, I'm going to follow Christ. It might be unpopular. You might lose all of the friends that you have right now. Your family members might despise you. But you know what? God will make it all up for you. He'll make it up for you in this life. And He'll make it up for you radically in the end. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You that You came and made this gateway and this road to heaven. And Jesus, we acknowledge that that is You, that You are the way, the truth, and the life. And Lord, I would simply pray today for those that are on the broad road. I pray that they wouldn't miss this opportunity to turn off right now and to get on the narrow path, following You, living for You. Help them to make that decision today. Amen. Let's stand. If you'd like to get off the broad road that's leading to destruction and get on the narrow path that's leading to life, there are some men and women up front here, and they'd love to lead you in a simple prayer to receive Christ today. And so after the service, if you make your way up front, they'll pray with you, and you can leave here having gotten on to that narrow path that leads to life, having been born again, having received Christ. You can have that today. It's available to you. God is calling you. You know who you are. And I urge you to make that step. May God bless you. May He give you a great day and a wonderful week.